You know, we've been in a series this fall, How to Not Self-Destruct. If you're brand new with us or it's your first time here and you're like, man, there's some interesting things that were talked about. I would like to hear more, or if there's some messages you missed, you can go to mountlvc.com, listen to podcasts or under the watch tab, or you can bribe someone that you think should, you know, listen to a message and send them that direction. The series we've looked at, you know, oftentimes when there's problems in our life, we can look at others and say, well, it's their fault, right? It was my dad, it was my mom, it was my sibling, it was the church, it was the pastor, it was my employer, whatever it is. We can look at our problems and say it's a result of that person and what they've done to us. And that is true. There are some problems in our life that are results of other people. But in this series, we've also looked at the fact that some of the problems in our life are a result of us. And that's a little uncomfortable for us, to admit that maybe I'm the problem. And so in this series, we've realized that, you know, oftentimes we are our own worst enemy. And we've looked at ways that, not all the ways, but some major ways that we can live differently so that we do not self-destruct. So this is the last message in this series. Some of you thought this series would go forever and it was gonna destroy you. Good news is this is the last one, so you will not self-destruct with the series. But this last message is really a wrap of the entire series. The whole series could just kind of be wrapped in this. And so this is what I want to leave you with and leave us with as we close the series. You know, Andy Stanley has said this very, very often. He says, following Jesus will make your life better, and following Jesus will make you better at life. Now, if you're the kind of Christian that is thoughtful, hopefully all Christians are thoughtful, maybe you have a certain personality, a judging personality. And I don't mean judging in a negative sense. I actually mean this in a positive sense, that you have this kind of personality when you hear things, it's like, oh, that sounds cute and sweet. But you just have this personality, you're like, is that actually true? I mean, after we pull the kind of the cute and sweet out, is that actually true? And you hear, you know, following Jesus will make your life better. And the judging kind of, is that true thing inside you says, that kind of sounds like health, wealth, prosperity gospel, right? And if you're not a Christian, you're like, what's prosperity gospel? Prosperity gospel is just a good messaging, good news messaging system that in essence says, come to God and all your problems will go away, right? Follow Jesus and you'll be rich and you'll be healthy. Now, as a Christian, if you're a thinking Christian, you're like, wait a second, I know a lot of Christians who follow Jesus and their life didn't get better in the sense of, they never got healthy. In fact, I know a lot of Christians that were very unhealthy, and I know a lot of Christians that were not very wealthy. So is this even true, right? Is this even true? And I guess it depends, well, how do we define better? How do we define better? If by better we define it as, you know, you'll be healthy, wealthy, and all your problems will go away, we'd say, well, Andy, I think you're wrong on this one. Because that is not true, right? Prosperity gospel is bad thinking. It's not true to scripture. In Christian circles, we call it bad theology, right? It's dangerous. It's not true. But if we define better as in your life will be fuller, you will experience life the way that, well, God actually intended you to experience it, the answer is yes. Following Jesus will make your life more of that. Following Jesus will make your life more full of that. Because here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, for the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. See, all of creation was created through Jesus, the Word. He is life. Life itself comes from God. So who better to know how life works than the one who is the creator of it all? And Jesus said, I've come to give you something that you have lost. Because when I breathed life into the first humans, when I brought life into the world, I wanted it to be a certain way. I wanted you to have life. But there's an enemy of yours, a thief, Satan, the devil. Maybe you don't believe in the devil, but Jesus believed in the devil. And Jesus said, there's a thief that comes to kill and steal and take what was never his and take something that was meant to be yours. And that was life. God created you for life. And so when Jesus came, he came to bring back something that we had lost. He came to bring life. He said, I want you to have it to the full, abundant. I want you to experience it fully. Now we think of life and eternal life almost exclusively as future. But in the first century, The way Jesus talked about it, it was future and also present. That eternity wasn't something we wait for later, but it's something that begins now. When Jesus said, I'm going to give you life, he wasn't just saying, wait till later. He's saying, it starts now, and you may not fully experience it as you will later, but it begins now. So, you know, following Jesus will make your life better. But here's the other thing. It will make you better at life. Because when you do it the way the author of life said you should do it, it's going to be better for you. But here's the challenge about living into this full life. Here's the challenge of following Jesus. That we look almost exclusively at results rather than process. We look almost exclusively at results. You know, we see someone who's doing well in business, and we're like, I want that. But we look right beyond what the process was that got them there. And we see a healthy marriage, and we see a marriage that where they're in love with each other, and we're like, I want that kind of marriage. It's not a bad want, but we often we just look right past the process of what got that marriage there. Or we see someone who has a great deal of peace or a great deal of happiness, or we see someone who has a great deal of holiness, right? As followers of Jesus, like, man, I want to follow Jesus better. I want to be more holy. I want to be more set apart. And we see someone who has a great deal of holiness. We're like, I want that. But often we look right past the process. We just look at outcomes. And I think that can be dangerous sometimes. It's not that the outcome we want is wrong sometimes, but when we look past the process, we miss what actually gets us there. And the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 6, he comes along across this idea of outcomes and process. And you know, he says, you know, sometimes we look at outcomes, we're like, I want that. And we're tempted to shortcut the process because we simply want the outcome. And Paul's like, oh, just so you know, there is actually no shortcutting the process when it comes to life, full, abundant, eternal life, the kind of life that God created you for. There's no shortcut to following Jesus. So here's how he says it in Galatians chapter 6. Paul says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. And as he says, don't be deceived. By the way, we can be deceived, right? We can be deceived. We can get tricked. But here's someone who can't get tricked. God cannot be mocked. He cannot be fooled. You can't kind of worm your way around some things. God is not fooled. God is not mocked. God is not tricked. And then Paul says, here's how God has made this all work. A man reaps what he sows. And by men, women, that includes you too, okay? So you're allowed to farm in scripture as well, I guess. But a man reaps what he sows. A person reaps what he sows. What you put in the ground, that's going to come out later. But here's how reaping and sowing always works, is you put in a little bit and a lot shows up later, right? And Paul says, listen, a man reaps what you put in, it's going to show up later. And probably it's going to show up with some multiplication. It's going to grow a little bit. Here's how this applies to your life. If you don't like the outcomes of your life, don't chase different outcomes. If you don't like the outcomes of your life, then change where and what you're sowing. Because the outcomes of your life are the result of something you planted in an earlier time. So Paul says, sowing is really, really, really important. And we get so caught up on the reaping, on the outcomes, on the harvest. And Paul says, no, you need to be really, really concerned about what you're sowing. And then he lays out how this all plays out in some pretty simple lines, simple thinking. He says, whoever sows to please the flesh, their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, though, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. We have two outcomes in line 2 and 4, right? And I dare say if any of us just looked at outcomes, we'd say, okay, there's an option to have like destruction or life. All of us choose life every time, right? We want life. It's like, I don't want to choose destruction. But then Paul says, here's the process that gets us there. And this is the process that we so often miss. It's not that we, you know, desire the wrong outcome. It's that we miss the process. He says, listen, whoever sows to please the Spirit gets destruction. Or whoever sows to please the flesh gets destruction. Those who sow to the Spirit receive life. So then the question becomes, what does it even mean? right? It's like, okay, I get it, Paul. I get the process you just laid out. But what is the flesh and what does it mean? What does it look like to sow to the flesh? What is the spirit and what would it look like to sow to the spirit? Well, the good news is Paul has already answered this question, but he did it a chapter earlier. He gives us a perspective. And here's what Paul says about the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. He kind of teases this out and answers the question that we have in this passage. In chapter 5, verse 19, 20, and 21, Paul says this, "The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions," and he goes on. But before I get to the next part, what we can already see about this list, this is pretty expedient, isn't it? I mean, if you want pleasure right now, I would suggest go to this list. If you just want, you know, if you're like, well, I'm not married yet, but I just want some pleasure sexually, this gets it pretty fast, right? Just choose some immorality. Just choose a little bit of impurity. Maybe you're in a marriage and it's just not going that well and you just need to have some pleasure right now. This is pretty fast. If you want fast fun, this is the list. This is pleasure immediate, right? If you're, you know, you could just find some pornography or find a willing partner. You know, maybe when it comes to fits of rage, I mean, that feels good, right? And sometimes it gives you the outcome you want immediate, right? All of a sudden, it's like, I got control of my kids. I got control of my spouse. I just lose it, and they just pay attention. And you get something immediate. It's fast. You know, jealousy, envy, discord, you know, selfish ambition. This is fast fun. This is expedient. Just a little slander, a little gossip, and you look good, and others look bad, and you get the attention you want, right? I mean, this is fast fun. He goes on and says, and envy and drunkenness and orgies and the like. I mean, it was just a fun night, right? It was just one night. It was just, we had fun. It was a good time. If you want fast fun, this isn't a bad list. But Paul, before you start running off to these things, okay? Paul says, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. That God has put some things in place. A man reaps what he sows. And every time you choose impurity and every time you choose sexual immorality, you are planting some seeds that are going to produce something. And every time you choose a little gossip and a little bit of rage and a little bit of this to meet the pleasure you want, you are planting some seeds that are going to grow into a harvest. Do not be deceived. A man reaps what he sows. And very specifically when it comes to the flesh, whoever sows to please their flesh will from the flesh reap destruction. Will reap destruction. You know, I've seen a lot of marriages destroyed because of seeds planted in sexual immorality. And boy, it was fast fun, but it was a heap of destruction. And I've seen a lot of mother and father, mother and child relationships and father and child relationships destroyed because of fits of rage. And they don't talk anymore. And there's been so much hurt and pain. And it was fast fun and it got you what you wanted in the moment. And I've seen a lot of relationships and friendships destroyed and siblings' relationships destroyed because a little bit of slander and gossip. And boy, it got you what you want. It was some immediate pleasure, but boy, it ended up in a heap of destruction. You know, here's what I'm convinced of when it comes to sowing. Two things. I'm convinced that we underestimate the power of sowing. There's this human thing in us that I think we're short-sighted. Part of it is we only kind of live on this earth for 70, 80, 90 years. And so we're kind of short-sighted that way. But even more than that, we're kind of short-sighted because most of us just kind of think for today and maybe this week. And I think if we could pull back, not just for the 70, 80, or 90 years, but if we could get a new perspective, an eternal perspective, like God's perspective, and pull out of this the whole time and space and just say, where does this lead? I think we underestimate the power of sowing, and I don't know if we'll ever appreciate this. Honestly, I don't know if we'll fully appreciate this until eternity. I think our minds are just, are blocked. We have short-sightedness, but I think we can begin to understand it better. And I think we need to, we underestimate the power of sowing. But here's what I'm also convinced of, that immediate pleasure gets in the way of your desired treasure. There's this immediate pleasure thing that just gets in the way all the time of the thing you actually desire. So Paul says, whoever sows to their flesh will reap destruction. It's kind of the bad news, right? But there's this hopeful thing too, and he says this, but whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit, that's the Spirit of God, capital S Spirit, from God will reap eternal life. So what is sowing to the Spirit? What does that even look like? Well, again, Paul has answered this already. Back in Galatians chapter 5, he gave a list of acts of the flesh, but he also gives a list of fruits of the Spirit. And here's what he writes. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, and gentleness and self-control. Here's what I'll tell you about this list. This isn't fast fun. This is like slow monotony, right? I mean, kindness, self-control doesn't just come in an instant. Faithfulness isn't one in a day. Patience doesn't just happen to us. These are seeds that we plant. As we dive into God and who he is and his word and we live rightly and every day simply do the right thing, and there doesn't seem to be much payoff that day. But eventually there's this harvest, these fruits that start coming out. The fruit of the Spirit. But I can tell you this, when it comes to your life, I know there's some things that you want. I know that you want some more self-control in your life because you've seen some of the destruction your lack of control has caused. And I bet you want some more patience, and I bet there's some faithfulness that you've looked at your own life, you're like, man, I wish I would have had a little more faithfulness in that situation. Because this brings about life. As Paul said, whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. But whoever sows to the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So here's what we want. We want lines 3 and 4. But here's what I'm going to say about lines 3 and 4. They're really, really hard. They're really, really hard. And sowing to the Spirit is slow. And it's very, very tiring. And very, very tiring. And in the process of sowing to the Spirit, there's times where we just kind of get tired and we get weary and we're like, is this even worth it? And we want to throw in the towel and just say, go back to the flesh because it's fast and it's immediate. And Paul understood this. And it's interesting what Paul says next. And if you're a person of faith, you've heard this verse countless times. But I don't know if we've ever fully, even as Christians, heard it or understood it in the context that Paul puts it in. We kind of pull it out from Scripture. But Paul uses it in this concept of reaping and sowing, or sowing and reaping. He uses it in the context of pleasing the flesh and pleasing the Spirit. And here's what he says. He says, so let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, there's a time coming, God cannot be mocked. We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. In essence, Paul is saying, listen, I know you're going to get tired. I know there's times you're going to look at this and say, is this worth it? And God, I've been trying to do the right thing. And God, I'm trying to follow your word. And God, it doesn't seem to be paying off in my life. God, where's the harvest? And Paul says, listen, I know that day's coming for you because it comes for all of us because we're short-sighted on this side of eternity. And so he says, don't get weary. Don't give up. Remember, God is not mocked. Remember, he is true to himself. And a harvest is coming if you don't give up. Here's the point of the entire passage, I think. Don't give up in the sowing while you're still waiting for the reaping. Don't give up in the sowing as you're following Jesus and you're saying, I'm trying to do this right. I'm trying to do the right thing. And I'm in the word. And it doesn't seem like there's a lot of change happening. There's not a lot of good happening. Don't give up in the sowing. While you're still waiting, while you're still waiting for the reaping. You know, there's an old saying, and you probably heard this. I don't know who came up with this. I can't find who came up with this. But it says this, sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, and reap a destiny. And we all love the reap a destiny part, but notice all the sowing and reaping and sowing and reaping and sowing and reaping and sowing and reaping that happens before that. So here's the question I think that I want to leave you with from this message. The question is this: what are you sowing right now? Or where are you sowing? And maybe you're getting tired and the temptation to sow elsewhere is strong. But where are you sowing? Or what are you sowing? See, every time you do right, seeds are planted and a payout is coming. Every time you sow to the Spirit, you say, God, I submit myself to you. God, I'm going to go your way. God, I'm at a crossroads, and this one seems pretty fast and fun. But this one, I think, is what you're calling. This is what I know your word says. Every time you do that right thing, right according to God, not right according to you, seeds are planted, and God is not mocked. That means a payout's coming, a harvest is coming. Now, I want to give a special word to two groups of people today. I want to give a special word to you that are young, and I want to give a special word to those of you that are trying to change regarding this idea that Paul talks about. The truths are true for all of us. This is specifically for you. For those of you that are young, here's what I want to leave you with. Tomorrow's harvest is a result of today's planting. And I know as young people, by young, let me define that, 25 and younger, okay? Sorry, those of you that are older than 25, you're not young anymore, okay? So those are 25, but this is true for all of us. See, this truth is true for all of us. But those of you that are young, I think as young people, we get this idea that, you know what, I'm just going to do some things now. I'm going to live some of my life now. But the things that I do now don't have that great of a consequence later, right? That I can kind of just do my thing, and eventually I'll do it the right way, or eventually I'll smarten up, or eventually I'll do this. But here's what Paul is trying to tell those of you that are young. He's saying, listen, you have a harvest coming tomorrow. But your harvest tomorrow is a result of today's planting, which means tomorrow, if you choose to start planting differently, you already have a harvest. And I want to say this to you. Some of you aren't going to meet your spouse for another decade, but you are planting seeds today that are going to determine if you have a healthy marriage a decade from now. You don't even know who your spouse is. And you've come across some things online as an 8-year-old, as a 15-year-old, or as a 20-year-old. And the decision you make to do with what you just saw will impact your future marriage. You don't even know who you're going to marry yet. See, tomorrow's harvest is a result of today's planting. You can't just flick a switch and say, well, I'm going to harvest something new today. I've changed my life. So I want to encourage you. You have such opportunity to reap a harvest of life, life eternal that only comes through Jesus. Absolutely. But Jesus came to give us life eternal that starts now as you submit to the Spirit. And so if you're young, here's two things I want to encourage you in. And this is for you that are old too, but two things if you're young that are not going to feel like they're going to change much in you. Number one, get into God's word. Start young every day. Just dive into God's word and say, God, I want to do it right. I want to do it right. God, show me what you have in your word. And I guarantee you, if you start today, tomorrow you won't wake up and there's going to be this great harvest. In fact, you'll probably be like, did I learn anything? I don't even understand this. It's weird. The Bible's weird. How do I understand this? Keep planting seeds. Those are seeds that are planted that I guarantee it will produce a crop, a harvest for you. And here's the other, as you get into God's word, get together with God's people. You know, the younger generation, we're an individualistic culture. We think, I'll just do it my way. I can do this on my own. I can figure it out. But if you put that discipline into your life where you find a small group of people that you're honest with, you're vulnerable with, that you discuss the word of God with, that you pray together with, I guarantee you it won't change your life tomorrow. But in 10 years, there will be a harvest that you will not even understand. Because here's the deal. As you do those two things and you start to sow seed to the Spirit and say yes to God's Spirit as he speaks to you through his word and through his people, every time you hit a crossroads, you're going to say, God, I guess I'll do it your way. God, I guess I'll do it your way. God, I guess I'll do it your way, as opposed to God, I'll go my way. God, I'll go my way. And you'll end up at very opposite ends of the spectrum. One ends in destruction and one ends in life. So if you're young, consider what you're planting. Don't worry about outcomes, they'll come. Consider what you're planting. Here's what I want to say to those of you that have come to Jesus, or maybe you returned to Jesus after sowing, some wild oats. And you're saying, here's what I want to say to you. Today's harvest is a result of yesterday's planting. And this is a hard truth for you to hear. Today's harvest is a result of yesterday's planting. You know, I've heard too many people who have gone off and kind of lived to the flesh and done their own thing rather than living to God. And maybe they knew God as young people or they didn't know God as young people. And they say, you know what? My life is a mess. I'm reaping all this destruction. God, I turn my life over to you. And they're like, I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to get in a small group. I'm going to do it your way. God, I'm going to sow seed to the Spirit, right? I'm going to sow the Spirit in my life. I'm planting new seed, and then a week later or a month later or a year later or 2 years later, they give up and they say, you know what? I tried it God's way. I did it God's way and it didn't work. I followed Jesus and you know what? My marriage still fell apart. I'm still divorced. She left me. He left me. You know what? My kids still don't talk to me and I still went bankrupt financially and all these bad things still happen to me. Is it even worth following Jesus? Does he actually make a change? Is there any harvest? And here's what I want to tell you. Today's harvest is a result of yesterday's planting. Yesterday's planting. And sometimes when we make a change, we still have to get through the old harvest of plants that we seed that we planted earlier. Let me describe it for you this way. Imagine you're a farmer. We're all farmers this morning. It's springtime. You're like, what am I going to plant this year? And you look at, you know, the crop prices and you're like, whoa. Canola is going for $20 a bushel, but wheat, it's only going for $7 a bushel. I love canola, right? And so you just plant everything canola. You're like, I'm gonna have the best year ever. And you plant all canola. 4 months later, it's harvest time. And you get to harvest time, you look at the crop prices, and canola has plummeted. It went from $20 a bushel to $2 a bushel. But wheat has jumped from $7 a bushel to $17 a bushel. And you're looking at your canola crop and you have one thought in your mind. I hate canola, right? I just hate canola. I love wheat. Where's the wheat? And in that moment you say, you know what? I am planting wheat. It's a good decision. It's $17 a bushel. That's a wise decision, right? You're planting wheat. But here's the deal. In Canada, you have to wait 4 months until that matures. And it's already harvest time, which means winter's coming. So you have to wait an entire year before you can harvest your wheat. But do you have harvest you still have to get through? All that canola you planted. All that canola you planted. And some of you are in a season of harvesting seeds that were planted in a season where you were planting them to the flesh. And you're going through these difficult things and you wonder, God, you're not making a change. God, is this even worth it? And to this, Paul would say, don't grow tired in doing good. God is not mocked. And yes, you may have to walk through a harvest of seeds planted that you wish in regret you wouldn't have planted. But there is a harvest of life. And this isn't talking about your salvation. The moment you come to Jesus, everything's forgiven. You're a child of God. You are not condemned. No one is condemned who is in Christ. Romans 8:1 says this. But God doesn't always take the consequences away of the seeds that we planted earlier. And there may be a harvest you have to walk through. A harvest of difficulty as you start planting new crop, but don't grow tired in doing good because God cannot be mocked. He's not deceived. He's not fooled. And as you continue to sow to the Spirit, he says you will reap life. And some of it you won't fully experience until eternity. But some of it, I believe, you will begin to experience even now. Don't give up in the sowing while still waiting for the reaping. Don't give up. So the question is not this. The question is not, what am I reaping? That's not the question. The question is, where and what am I currently sowing? Maybe you're reaping some things that are from the past. You just have to get through that. And God will give you strength. And some consequences he may take, some he won't take away. But the question is, what am I sowing? And maybe you're sowing good seed and you've been sowing good seed for a long time. You've been doing it the way that God wants you to. And you're still saying, where's the harvest, God? Don't grow tired. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. Don't give up in the sowing while you're still waiting for the reaping. You know, often we think of holiness as an outcome when it's a seed we plant that produces a harvest. Often we think happiness is an outcome. It's actually a seed we plant in God, the author of happiness, the author of life. It's a harvest that's coming. Often we think of good marriage as an outcome when it's a seed we plant. So I want to encourage you as we tie up this entire series. You know, in this series, we've talked about contentment versus coveting. You've been planting a new seed following God's Spirit and planting contentment in who Jesus is. Don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. You know, we've talked about trust versus control. And you're planting a new seed and trusting in God rather than taking control of the things that you want. Don't grow weary in well-doing. And we've talked about thanksgiving versus worry and anxiety. And you've been planting this new seed of thanksgiving. You're waiting. God, is the change coming? Don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary. Continue to plant those seed and submit yourself to the Spirit of God. We've talked about digging trenches of truth instead of living in the ruts of the old lies and the old pathways of thinking. And as you're digging these trenches of truth, maybe you're getting tired. In this series, and Paul says, keep sowing to the Spirit. Keep filling your mind. Submit yourself to God. Don't give up in the sowing while you're still waiting for the harvest, for the life, for the things that God has in store for those who trust him. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that encourages us. And God, I pray that for all of us today, that your word would speak to us individually, specifically, because your Spirit takes your word and it illuminates our hearts and our minds. And so God, this simple message about sowing and reaping, God, may we look at our own lives and contemplate, what are the areas where I'm tempted to sow to the flesh because I want something now, I want instantaneous, I want what's expedient. And God, may you give us wisdom to know what those are rather than what your Spirit and what your word has called us to. And then God, may you give us courage to walk into the things that you have for us. And God, above all, may you give us strength to not grow weary in the good things that you've called us to. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thanks so much for joining us today. We trust you have been encouraged and challenged in your faith journey. If you're desiring prayer, want more information on our church, want to partner with us, or be involved in any way, please go to our website at mountoliveefc.com. We'll see you next time.